Good evening, and welcome to the 2015 Period of Review number 7. My name's Alan Gould, and...
No. This is Section 31.
You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
They know all the truth. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler. And apparently, yes. We have a guest.
We do. I muted him. He'll have to unmute himself. Alan is joining us. Alan was a moderator for majority of the period reviews, all but two of them. And now that they're all wrapped up, we've invited him along to just give us a little commentary on how it went. I wasn't able to attend all of them. I was in two. I was in the audience for one, and there, how many were there?
Six.
Six? All right, so I took part in half of them. and you were around for four of the six, is that right, Alan?
Yeah, I did, pop quiz. I did the two organized plays, the Continuing Committee Tribbles one, and the... it's the behind-the-scenes ones. Chris Loben, it's the programmers and all of those.
So yes, and Maggie did a great job with the other two. I was in the first edition one that she ran. This is the how manyth year we've done the video, live video period of reviews?
This is the third year with the videos. So
do you see that they're getting longer, shorter, more of them?
I think we're doing more of them. Because we're doing a Tribbles one, organized play got split up. The duration seems to still be parked around that 60-90 minute mark, and that seems to be a good time. You can kind of tell like 90 minutes is about right to get through everything. If people are having a really quiet year, you get done in that 45-60 minute mark. So,
do you think most of the questions get sent to you from the survey, right? You pull your questions from the survey, and then a few via PM or whatnot?
Yeah, this year, so the last 2 years, it was more an open-ended, just put stuff in a forum or send PMs in. This year, we did the big Uber survey, and then you still get stuff sent in through, I think this year I got, say, half a dozen PMs with either just long-form stuff or last minute, like, hey, I wanted details on this particular thing.
I took the survey. I hope everybody took the survey. I wish more people would have taken the survey. The survey had... If you took all the questions in the survey and you said I wanted to answer all, it was a long survey.
It was a very long survey.
It was so long that I forgot some of the answers that I put in the survey, as obvious. do you foresee doing this again next year, the same thing, the long survey, and then... You know, Q&A
I think
with
I'll chop up the survey. And we got, I believe it's, we were just shy of 50 responses. So 50 people who went into the survey, not everybody covered every department. So, and it was set up that way, so you could kind of skip around a bit. I'm hoping we don't do it all in one big massive one, because it was very long to fill out, and even getting the details out of it at the end was because you only need a sixth of it for any given section. So hopefully we'll split it up next year. But it was a good experiment, and I think we got good numbers even beyond just the period of review, because now you have the stats on how often do people do this and do that and what do they like. And I think there's good information in there.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, this year had a lot of period reviews without Charlie sitting in on most of them, right? Is this the first year or the second year that that's been the case?
This is the first year. It was actually something that I poked him about from last year, because Charlie, bless his heart, if he's in there, he will jump in and answer stuff. And being that part of the theme of this year was, hey, we're supposed to have brand managers, there's supposed to be people doing this, can't say I chased them out of all of them, but we definitely, you know, encouraged the brand managers and the people who are supposed to be doing the day-to-days to kind of step up and do that. And they all did a really good job. I mean, Smiley's always a joy to talk to in particular. He's fun.
I did the 1E1, as I said, and it was pretty good. The shipping manager one was, you know, it's more of a job and less fun, but that's fine. And the last one was, you know, it was going to be a mess either way. I thought they went pretty well. Splitting them up to six, because that's like 9 hours of interview, you know, put them all together, right? That's a long time. That's a lot of time to devote. I wouldn't mind having them spread out a little bit more, you know, even among the year or. I don't know. Are there any plans to do it a little bit differently next time?
We haven't really thought too much about it. I mean, one that jumps to mind is Tribbles probably needs its own, which would be a very short one. But I mean, it was in a weird spot. It was amusing because it was that very like, here is the most serious part of it, which is the finale, and that one is always because it's the catch all and it's the big high level stuff, and then Tribbles. So I wouldn't mind doing more smaller ones. The audio edits come in if folks are crunched for time. The audio versions are usually 5, 7, 8 minutes shorter just because we cut out the ums and the blank spaces and whatnot. I thought about doing, like, taking the audio version and trying to trim it down to a good parts version, but then you run the risk of cutting out something that somebody wanted to hear.
Fair enough. Well, I thank you again for the hosting job that you did. I think it's important that someone who is not wouldn't have a seat on any of those meetings, you know, do the poking just to make sure that it's a little less, I don't know, inside, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm, like, Maggie did a great job doing the 1E and 2E ones, and the 1E's the one that I'm always a little, well, actually, it worked out because we had figured out what my availability was, and that weekend was my wife's birthday. And then it turned out that the two podcasts that I'm the least comfortable doing, 1E because I still have my hand in 1E from time to time, and 2E because I haven't played it in forever and a day. So last year when I did the 2E, you get those questions that are on the people are talking about such and such, and for those of us who don't know what you're talking about, would you mind explaining this first? So, and Maggie did a brilliant job. So, and I'm always glad to have more people to do that sort of thing.
Right on. All right. I pretty much hijacked Alan. Do you have anything that you wanted to throw in, Rogue? I kind of dragged him in at the last minute because we had a funny idea to do. But
no, that's fine. I've been interested to hear how it went. I unfortunately have been one of the reasons that ours was so late this year was because that was the only time I was really available. So I've got these queued up in my, you know, at work podcast listening queue waiting to review them, but I haven't got to see any but the one that we participated in. So it's interesting to hear how it went, and you know, I'm looking forward to hearing some of the feedback that came through.
Yeah, I think I'm keen to go back and listen to the first one, the organized play, events and events planning, because that's you know, as someone who used to run all the tournaments around here and occasionally goes to them now, that's something I'd like to hear some insight on what the plans for the future are. But very good. All right, with that, we actually had a local event that I thought I heard you say something earlier when we were planning what we were going to talk about today. It sounded like there was a second edition tournament and you went.
No. Let's not get crazy now.
Oh, okay, good.
There was a 2E tournament 2 weeks ago.
Oh, all right.
It was 1E tournament this weekend.
That's what I thought. Okay, much better. All right.
So we had 1E this weekend. It was supposed to be a crossover sealed event, and we were all going to bring the copies of both starters and open either draft or sealed add some pack some mirror and maybe a little bit of virtual stuff and go from there. Unfortunately, Charlie went to dig out the product Friday night and could not find it.
Oh no.
And you know, Charlie being Charlie, he was trying to be self-sufficient and trying to make up for it by finding something else or anything else that we could substitute when he could, if he had let us know what was going on. Johnny has a box at home. I have a box at home. Thomas has a box at home. So we could have grabbed something else and done that. But instead, he brought some reflections, which presented its own, well, at first we're like, oh, yeah, that'll be cool. We'll do add some reflections packs. But that adds its own level of complexity because, the whole point was to be doing the crossover starters with the mirror packs, so we actually get things we can use and we don't have to worry about any special rules. We just, pull cards and add them to our deck, and if we can use them, we can't, and if not, we don't. But instead, we were like, all right, well, reflections. So, do we divvy up the affiliations so Terran Empire gets fed or and everything else goes KCA, or it's like, well, there's not really that many Fed, so maybe we should have some other affiliations with them, or what about Quadrants, and how does that work with attack restrictions? And so eventually we're like, okay, screw it, everything works with everyone, play your ships where you want, and just go, because we're kind of up a creek right now, so let's just make the most of it. And it actually turned out to be really entertaining. I know at least half of us, that we had six people at the tables, me and Johnny and Thomas and JD and Matt and Charlie. And so we went ahead and drafted the packs rather than do a sealed deck, since it's a little easier with, or it's a little more easier to work with reflections that way. And so some of the crap got piled up and actually used. Like Matt pulled all of the Matt pulled two Q flashes and pulled all the Q icon cards and actually managed to get that to work.
That's amazing.
And I got two wormholes, and I opened in my first pack an Office of the President foil, and I was already thinking playing Terran Empire. And I was like, oh, I kind of want this. That would be a good compliment. I don't know how many admirals or ambassadors or whatever I'm going to get, but it would be kind of cool. And then I was like, no, wait. Espionage mission is rare. Like, wouldn't even be able to seed it.
Right.
So I pass it to the left. Thomas was on my left. And he looks at it and goes, I could see him go through the same thought process, and it moves on. Next pack, he opens his, which would have been passed to me. So if I had taken that, he opened an espionage foil. Espionage mission foil. And we're like, no! So little fun, bizarre things like that could have been entertaining. But I got a foil Future Enterprise with all the rest of my garbage. So that kind of, everything after that was gravy.
That's nice.
Yeah. So we threw some stuff in. I think JD had some Borg running around in his deck, and it was just kind of bizarre. I was happy for the couple of scientists I pulled because that helped me get back and forth through the wormhole. And we did, even though it was kind of just a bizarre throwaway tournament at that point, just to goof off and have some fun, we did get some interesting data out of it because we did have Charlie brought all of the Reactor Core cards from Crossover, and the idea basically being draft what you want or open your packs and then see what you can use, what's going to be the best way to go for you, and then you can pick an engine, go either way. And I'm kind of glad we did that in a sort of a false start setting, because I don't know, as much as I was looking forward to using those in a Crossover / mirror setting, those are definitely not in a sealed deck environment, all things equal.
There's just not enough support cards that you have to bring in, or what?
Well, I mean, you know, we were just kind of, Charlie was just kind of, oh, okay, well, you get the station and you know, name six sites and you have those, and or you can use the headquarters. But we discovered when playing head-to-head, I was playing Terran Empire Hideout and he was playing Terran Empire Station. And he's like, oh, well, your free report comes from your headquarters card, so, or from your reactor core card, so it only works for you. But my free report comes from a headquarters card, so it works for both of us.
Right.
So that was a little obnoxious. And then, you know, if you're playing Regency 1, you start with a ship, you start with an engine, you get one download that gets you a download. You know, you download Regent Worf to download the Empire, and you have another a draw engine to go with your new arrivals, so you can either, you know, get three card draws a turn, or you can pop your new arrivals and not feel too bad about it, still have three card draws. That one was very strong. So I think it might be a good idea. We basically, after the end of the day, we're like, okay, we now have two different formats that we're all eager to try independently that we happened to today mash together, which is doing an actual crossover / mirror mirror sealed event, possibly without the reactor core cards. I think it's enough to have the new arrivals and just play with the cards that we've got and have some fun with those. But then also just kind of, we pulled enough banned cards that we were like, you know, it would be fun just once to go goof off and play a, you know, bring your OTSD pack and maybe a starter deck 2 or something, and, you know, like four to six packs of Reflections draft and go hog wild with the open.
Just play open rules?
Yeah, because I was like, nope, there's a Horrigan, and I got a Supernova, and Genitronic Replicators, and, you know, all this goofy stuff that is just really a huge pain in the ass in Constructed, but you could see it going by. I was like, maybe it'd be fun to just go back and do this once in a very limited format.
Certainly. I mean, with the, you know, the starting, the seed of a starter deck and, you know, a couple of, or OTSD pack and just a couple of random things, you know, you spend a couple of hours getting the cards, you know, drafting the cards and building a deck, and then you play three rounds, and then you maybe remember, you know, why you don't like your missions being stolen out from under you, or, you know, your missions being blown up by the supernova.
Yep.
Well, you do it every once in a while, you know, just or as a reminder.
Just to remind you why we have OTF.
I don't know. It's been I was about to say something that I shouldn't because of design. So, who ended up winning?
Thomas won. He went undefeated over two rounds because after two rounds we were like, "Yep, nope. See, let's just call it." It was kind of 50-50. Nobody expressed a really strong opinion. It was like, "Does anybody want to play a third round?" It was like, you know. Nobody objected, but nobody was really pushing for it. I was 2-0 with a timed and a full, and Thomas was 2-0 with a full. And so we were like, let's just play triples. Because we haven't got to play triples in a while, and we were hoping to, if we started early, we could rope Johnny in, which unfortunately didn't work, but it was still entertaining to see the cards, and it was a league event, bizarre league event. So we got to see the new shiny Quantum Incursions.
Oh yeah, nice.
Which was very pretty, and get some prizes. We had two guest appearances by Mrs. Johnny and Mrs. JD, and their respective daughters. And so it was like a little family party while we were playing. So that was cool because we haven't got to see either of them in a while.
Nice. Did either of them stay for triples?
They did not.
Next time.
Yeah. But we did have triples afterward. We had five. I habitually, and I say habitually because, you know, in the one time I played since Gen Con, I've used Troubles, and basically since Gen Con, I've always played Tribbles with Troubles, but apparently they haven't been doing that. So I was like, hey, we're going to play with Troubles, and I dropped the Trouble file, and they were like, okay. So I don't know if that's been nobody has a Trouble deck, or nobody wanted to bother to get it out, or they don't like playing with them, but it certainly made for an interesting game. I really like the Troubles. We hit Mannheim a couple times, and Charlie would freeze shift.
Oh, jeez.
So that we would hopefully say on that, but in the end, my battle deck was not sufficient to actually battle anybody, and I think I got one good score off to get me out of last place, but JD went out with a ton. He was playing, it looked like a hybrid anti-battle deck. So lots of it. We went a couple of rounds with three antis worth of cards in there before somebody played up a Kapla.
Interesting.
But it wasn't quite as, I don't think he was doing it full force, so it wasn't quite as broken as the decks we were seeing at Gen Con. But
was he the only one with Kaplas again?
Matt seemed to claim he had a Kapla. He's like, no, I don't want to freeze Kapla because I need those points. But I never saw him play one, so I don't know if he just thought he had one or he just never drew into it. But JD was the only one who scored any points off of it.
Yeah, that's too bad. All right. Well, congrats.
And he came away with the win.
Congrats to JD and TV, yeah?
Yep.
Certainly. All right. There is another tournament planned in the middle of December, and I believe it's going to be within the Peldor Joy window, right?
It is.
You guys get to talk about that at all?
At the tournament?
Yeah.
Yes, we talked about the scheduling because we were trying to find a good window to do it. Unfortunately, literally every weekend in December is booked up for me, so I didn't really contribute. But they were talking about the 9th or the 19th, whatever it came out on. Basically, the two weekends on either side of Geekmas.
Sure.
The one before I'm traveling and the one after I'm traveling. So I think Johnny was out for the earlier one, so we signed up for the latter just to try and get people to be able to go. Nobody else had any really strong opinions. I was really looking forward to that, so I'm kind of bummed I'm going to be out of town. Just go to Costco or something and buy a pallet or two of cans and come in and, like, I'm going to use every power.
Every power, every round.
Every round, just for fun.
Yes, that does sound fun. Did they decide what format they were going to play, first edition, second edition?
They did not. It was more important to kind of find out when we could do it, and then they were going to, once they knew when, they were going to discuss it amongst the people who could be there that day.
Okay, fair enough. I might make an appearance because I haven't played in a while, and that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. We did also discuss the Phoenix Tournament, which is our traditional New Year's event, which is not that far, not as far as you might like to think it would be. Nope. But New Year's Day is a Friday, and that means that Saturday, which kind of works out perfectly, you have a long weekend going into it. So Saturday the 2nd seems like the best time. I sort of tentatively put that on the calendar.
Yep, looks good.
To see if anybody who wasn't there couldn't make it then, but I think that's what we're looking at.
So all-day tournament, Saturday, probably start with if the December tournament ends up being second edition, maybe we'll do another long, like a draft. We've been talking about doing another 10 draft or something.
That is a word on the street. Where I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm an intelligence agent, so here we are. It was mentioned at the tournament this weekend that a custom rotisserie draft might be on the table. So something like the 10 draft, but with different collections of sets.
Interesting. All right.
So. Huh.
So maybe like a set of Mirror Mirror to draft?
That would be cool.
That would be fun. All right.
I wanted to try a cube draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that might be interesting. Yeah. Alan, have you played in a draft with the tin, the silver collector's tin before?
No, we did. We did a lot of OTSD drafts, but there wasn't a whole lot of tins up here in Alberta back in the day. So,
yeah, I think I saw one like ever, and I bought it. And then, you know, every time we go to the convention, I think Charlie buys one for $25 or whatever, because they've come down in price way too much.
I bought one this year. It's sitting, waiting to be used.
Yes, it's funny because I'm putting decks away finally. I've got like 6 stacks, and every once in a while I'll unsleeve, you know, a big stack of cards, and I'll just, you know, slowly put them in binders. But I came across, apparently last year's Phoenix tournament, maybe it was before that, it was some Romulan deck I had with a bunch of Silverboard cards, so it must have been the last time we did a Silverboard. So I started actually marking down what I have, because if we're going to keep doing this, eventually we're going to be able to collect sets of Silverboard, right?
Just draft a set.
Yeah, you know, why not? I figure I got most of the Romulans already.
Then we wouldn't have to buy one to have another draft.
The worst part is, I know I've got one on the bottom shelf down there. It's sealed up. I'm collecting a second one for no reason. And then I've got another one out in the garage for, you know, a raffle or something that we were going to do. I don't even know. I've got too many silver cards. I was asking. Sorry, Alan, what was that?
Oh, I've got a stash of they're behind the curtain there, but it's the last of my prize support back in the day, and it's random stuff that they've been bugging. It's like, well, we should open it, and it's like, no, I've got like 2 DS9 starters in there. Like, I'm not just, you know, and it's that problem of, it's like having a fine wine, right? Like, you know, yeah, I'm hooked up. I can't grab them. But it's like it's like you've got it, and you just don't want to open it just for the heck of it.
Exactly. But you need a special occasion.
Yeah, but now they've been sitting on my shelf for 5 years, and I'm never opening them. So,
yeah, you don't want to leave that too long, and it'll just turn into grape juice.
Exactly.
I didn't even know where I was going with that line. Now I've got. Yes, I'm looking forward to whatever we're going to do. I hope we can do a draft. I found also out in the warehouse. Someone had sent in a Q Continuum set and an Alter Universe set, so they went in the raffle. I found a 2E Premier, 2E Energize, and 2E Call to Arms set from way back when we were doing second edition with those redrafts. So, unfortunately, the last time we played, someone apparently needed a few of the rares, and I didn't get them all back. So, what I'm going to do is go through the list, find out whichever cards are missing. I think I'm going to have to put those in the raffle, because a full set of Premier 2E and, you know, that might get a few raffle tickets, but they've been in my garage for way too long, so I'm gonna put them in the draft, put them in the raffle. But I don't know what it would take to put together. It's been too long since I've opened boxes. What would it take to get together a set of Mirror Mirror? More than 2 boxes?
Mirror,
3
Mirror.
Boxes?
Wasn't 2 boxes the benchmark? Or
yeah, 2 boxes should be more than enough. It'll definitely get you enough rares. You may not get them all, but could definitely. I have so much Mirror Mirror that I can definitely
fill in some gaps.
Help you out filling in some gaps.
All right.
Definitely let me know if you don't get an FOS.
Have a few to spare, do you?
Yep.
Yeah. And if we really, really, for some reason, can't find, you know, an extra Mirror Sulu or something, we could just print one out. Right? Since they're all printable now?
It's true.
Yeah. It's not as much fun, though.
Yeah, it's more fun to have the cards.
And if we do that, if we open up 2 boxes and make a set and, you know, rotisserie draft it, all those extra cards, great backers.
Yep.
A little curved. Mirror Mirror was a little curved, but anyway. All right. So, Peldor Joy Tournament coming up locally in 2 weeks, you said? Probably 3 weeks?
More like a month.
What is today, anyway?
December 19th.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So, 4 weeks from last Saturday.
Peldor Joy. How do you spell Joy? All right, that's good. Close enough.
J-O-I.
Hey, I got it right. All right. That is on my calendar, so I think I will be there for the... I'll give us a report on the tournament on the 19th. That sounds fun.
Excellent.
Yeah. Very good. So the last thing, Alan, I warned you earlier, the last thing we're going to talk about is the animated show. Feel free to, you know, hit the little beam out button now. I was going to say eject, but this is Star Trek.
Energize.
I think I will, because I never saw it. So
okay,
I,
very good.
You know, smile and nod, but that'd be it.
We don't want to spoil you, you know, just in case you want to see it sometime.
That's right.
All right, Alan, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks
for
having me.
All right, so, yeah, we watched the first series of season two, sorry, the first episode of season two, the pirates of...
of not what we thought.
No.
They were pirates of...
I really thought they were going to be the pirates of Orion. These were the pirates
because Orion pirates.
Yes, I mean, that's
awesome.
No, these were the Orion pirates of Orion. They were bluish instead of greenish. I you know, same reason Tribbles were pink instead of brown, right? I can see that being a little bit off for the animated
show. Probably.
They had great superhero costumes, though, didn't they?
Very 70s Super Friends, yeah. You know, Wonder Twins style costumes.
Okay, so, geez, overall plot. this really had a beginning, a middle, and end. Unfortunately, I don't think the middle was in the middle of the episode. It was kind of squished toward the end a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
There was a lot of stretching out the middle parts. Man, it took forever for that ship to be taken.
So long.
Oh, yeah.
We've mentioned it before, but there were serious... We've got to return to the serious pacing issues.
The only thing I can think of is they had certain commercial breaks that they had to hit, and it was like, well, do we put this set piece before or after the commercial break? It's like, well, let's just put it after. All right, then what are we going to do before the commercial? Well, let's just pan on that freighter, the Huron, for a little while longer.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we need to stretch this out a little bit. Okay, Spock, you can't leave sickbay yet. We're going to do this scan, and we're going to look at the scan. We're going to look at McCoy thinking, and we're going to look at Spock, and we're going to look at the scan. We're going to look at McCoy thinking, we're going to go back to the scan, go back to McCoy. All right, Spock, I guess you can go now. Oh, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of, there were many, many moments. We had that such a great run. What happened to that great run where we had like three or four episodes? And, you know, I'm going to inflate it. It was like six episodes in a row that were actually good. It was not six. It was more like two or three.
And they were not good. No. They were more like less painful.
They were better. this was
they
not
were better.
I really liked the visual graphics in this episode. I liked the look of the two weird ships that we saw. The Huron was interesting.
Okay.
The Orion ship was... very, very bird of prey, predator, beetle looking thing, you know? And there's a still, if you go to Memory Alpha, there's a still of the Enterprise and the Orion ship in the middle of that explosive asteroid field where it's lots of color everywhere. That's a great shot. I really like that.
Cool. Yeah, I did like, this was a visually interesting episode, if nothing else. I was just so frustrated because it was... so horrifically, there were so many holes from like from moment one. I was like, we're like, okay, Captain's log. This outbreak of this disease on the Enterprise seems to be going well, which immediately implies that it's been going on for a while, but they have it under control. And I'm like, oh yes, it's nothing more serious than pneumonia, and we've got treatment for that. So it's not a big deal. And then, oh by the way, Spock has it. Collapses of it, and it turns out is fatal to Vulcans. Not something anybody thought of, apparently, when we've had this whoever knows how long outbreak of it on the ship. Maybe you should, I don't know, be quarantined or get on a shuttle or something, Spock. collapses on the bridge. Spock, what's wrong? You know, pan to Kirk, standing next to McCoy, pan back to Spock, collapsing. Pan back to Kirk, hitting the button. Bridge to sick bay. We have a medical emergency.
That happened more than once. When
Bones is right next to me, but I need you to send more people.
Yeah. Later on in the episode, he collapsed again. And he looked at Kirk, and McCoy was standing next to him. And then they called the sick bay, and that's where he answered. It's like, okay, hey, we were renewed for a second season. Who needs, you know, quality control?
Oh man.
The navigator for the other ship, the freighter, the Huron, sounded exactly like Sulu when he was talking.
Oh yeah.
When he was, it was okay when they were showing him and it was visibly different. But as soon as he was speaking off camera, I was like, why is Sulu on that ship?
Yeah.
Again, I like the story. Story is, they've got a problem over here. They were on their way over there. Now they got to go over here, and then they got that ship was intercepted, and now they got to deal with the pirates, and now they're going head to head in a meteor in an asteroid, explosive asteroid field. Those are all great things. I just didn't. Disappointed.
Yeah, and I like. It was weird that they weren't Orions. I don't know why they weren't Orions. That's what I'm saying is, like, was it a mispronunciation error? Were they supposed to be Orions? Were they literally different? They're intentionally different? If not, why would you do Orion and not just change the name or at least the spelling so it actually looks like Orion and not an existing race that we already have?
Apparently, according to Memory Alpha, they just mispronounced it.
So they were supposed to be Orions.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's kind of disappointing because another thing I was conflicted about was whether or not this new mysterious race, whether they were new or not, was I kind of like the idea that they were like, oh no, our neutrality is more important than, you know, the success of our mission or whatever, so we're going to sacrifice ourselves so that we can keep that intact. I thought that was a really cool concept, but I was like, well, this is not very pirate-like. This is, you know, they're not really pirates then. They're more like, you know, sneaky nationals. You know, they're thieves. That doesn't necessarily make them pirates. Pirates are like, you know, going against their own government and everyone and doing whatever they want and don't necessarily represent the interests of their own nation or empire or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it strikes me that this was not a very well-defined alien race, and they kind of used Orions because people knew what they were. They're the non-pink skin people. They're some other color, right? Yeah, let's just draw them blue. They'll be fine. It felt kind of slapped on. I feel like this episode had a lot of potential. It was an interesting story. It just did not live up to my expectations, which are really low already because we're watching the animated series. So I can't give this one a lot of chevrons. Maybe 1 out of 4. Not my favorite. Not a strong start to the second season. If they keep this level, I don't think they're going to make it to a full season at this rate.
No, and you'd be correct. If they can't pronounce the name of an alien that was just in the last episode that we saw before this and pronounce that correctly, you've seen the dance of my Orion people, haven't you, Captain?
Yeah, you're right, aren't you?
I don't think they're going to succeed. Now, the one thing I would say, and now that you mention it, I agree on a broader scale than just the one thing, is that there were a lot of interesting visuals. The art was cool. I did like the concept, particularly one I found striking was the Huron. That was a really interesting, you know, Federation ships are kind of standard and maybe a little boring in their standardized design. That one was really interesting looking, but still had that same kind of Federation flavor, Starfleet flavor.
Yeah. The visuals and also the Kirk, Spock, McCoy, the dialogue was, you know, it was on the edge of recognizable, the voice acting I thought was spot on, fantastic all the way through. Kirk was perfect. There was at one point he was talking about something, and I was like, wow, this is actually really good to listen to, you know? I could see it was weird because I was thinking about he kind of sounds it's like the bridging the gap between, you know, the original series Kirk and the not episode one
movie Kirk
movie one Kirk, yeah, Star Trek motion picture Kirk. I was spot on. McCoy was great, you know. Spock was great. Wow! So many things that could have gone better that just didn't, unfortunately.
And the one I yelled at the TV about was McCoy throwing up his hands and being like, "Well, I don't even know why I'm a doctor because we're only as good as like the tools and the drugs that we can have." I'm like, that's like the absolute opposite of his character.
That needed to pay off, I think. For that, I was really waiting for something to pay off on that, and it did not. So yeah, that was kind of disappointing. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you.
One star.
That image of the pirate ship and the Enterprise in the asteroid field, that's got to be a mission or a dilemma or something, because that image is fantastic. It's bright, colorful. Yeah. I want that to be a fantastic foil. I mean, wow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
I would like to see the Huron as a ship card.
Sure.
Because it would be nice to have a Federation freighter, which I'm pretty sure we don't have in the 1E.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a great, you know, dilemma or a mission.
Yeah, and like I said, it needs to be foiled with all the color, the blue to red color on all those asteroids, all of them being lit from the same side.
Yeah.
That's really pretty.
Could do a really cool 3D of that.
Yeah, you're right. That would be one of those old-timey, you know... When you move your head and it moves a little bit. Yeah, yeah. A little hologrammy. All right. Very good. All right. So we got a ship and a mission. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, that's episode one of the mercifully short season two. Only 5 episodes left. So we could kill this thing before the end of the year.
I just clicked ahead because I saw the name of the next episode is BEM. B-E-M.
Yeah.
There's a funky-looking guy sitting in a pool of water. I can't wait. I can't wait until we figure out what that is. So I'll close it up before I spoil myself.
Good job.
Anyway, very good.
All right, well... there's no there's Thanksgiving this weekend, so unlikely to have tournaments. Probably time to watch an episode though, so we could have a short episode next week, and then we're into the holiday season. So I hope people have their cans and they're going to have some Peldor Joy tournaments. We would like to hear about how that goes. I'm definitely interested to see what the cool things people are able to do with purchasing their powers. So if you do have a Peldor Joy event, and you play at it and you have some interesting experiences, you should email us at section31@danhammond.com, right?
Sounds good to me.
But in the meantime, I'm going to prep some crossover and some turkey and get ready
crossover.
For some holiday turkey crossover.
Evil turkey.
Gobble, gobble. That's right. Goateed. All right. Well, that's definitely all we've got this week. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to review your period in the universe.
You're a double agent, but they know. And you'll be double crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31.
And he can't even.